experience transformative Log radio.
Talk
radio.
Radio.
And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everyone, welcome. Welcome to the show. I want to let all of you know that you might be expecting a different show today, but today is a day where we take time to honor the journey, the memory of Olivia Newton-John. Wow, Benny, this is tough.
It definitely was a hard proverbial pill to swallow yesterday in hearing the news. And
yeah.
After I left here, I immediately thought of us and the shows we've done with her. And it brings back so many great memories with her.
It does.
Yep.
And, you know, what I want to say to everyone, we have decided to play one of the first interviews I had ever done with her. And we are going to do that today. It was a very special interview. There were some very interesting things that happened during the interview. It was kind of funny, but really scary for us that were pre-recording it, like dropping her three times during the interview, only to find out about a year later when we interviewed her again, that was her going through a tunnel. And so, for today, I want to say this. Whatever you know about Olivia Newton-John, or John Easterling. We knew John Easterling before he was John Easterling, had done many interviews with him. And so our heart goes out to Olivia's family, all the people around. Michael Caprio, who I've known as long as I've known Olivia, a fantastic agent. And this is a time where we just have to stop for a minute and take a look at who this amazing woman was and how her spirit will continue. Everything from her absolutely phenomenal perseverance and fight against cancer to building a center in Australia to traveling to China, to demonstrate, what it takes to really stand up and fight back. And the many, 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 many other things she had done over her career, over her lifetime, to demonstrate what she was made of, to demonstrate that Olivia Newton-John will always be in our heart, of course, for the music, of course, for the films, but for most importantly, because of who Olivia Newton-John was. I consider her a friend, and I want to say to all of you, if you don't know anything about her, please take a moment to listen to this, and I hope you will hear something that will inspire you today. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Many of you have listened to my show for a number of years, and you have emailed me and talked to me about many, many things. One of the main topics that you've talked to me about has been about gratitude, has been about grace, has been about being at this place where the journey becomes as important, if not more important, than the end result of the lives that we live. And today joining the show is someone that knows a bit about that. My guest today is Olivia Newton-John, and most of us know her from the fabulous, fabulous work that she has done. And for many of us, we are still hopelessly devoted to her. And as a matter of fact, probably more so than ever, because you'll hear today in this interview about a woman who has committed and dedicated herself to contributing to the greater good of all of us and really honoring the dignity of the human spirit. And she's joining us today because we've got some very important things to talk about and some pretty fun things to talk about as well. Olivia, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Lovely to talk to you.
It's wonderful to talk with you. And what I'd like to do is start out with a conversation about this this wonderful CD that you've produced, Grace and Gratitude. As a matter of fact, I've been sitting in the studio waiting for this interview to happen, and I've had people come in because I'm in the background playing the CD, and I've got people that coming in, and they're just standing here. I'm asking them, do you want to use the studio? And they're basically saying, no, what, the music is beautiful. And I said, that's Olivia Newton-John. And so out of the fires rises the phoenix. How would you describe your journey in terms of this CD, but more importantly, the obstacles that you've overcome in your life?
Well, I think that, you know, all the obstacles that I've been through, and I'm so lucky to be here now, have led me to this place of just total gratitude for being alive, for being healthy, for having gone through so many things that has given me so much, enriched my life in a lot of ways, because you don't, you know, unfortunately you don't usually grow without some kind of pain in your life. And so this album is really, you know, gratitude. They say actually that when you give thanks, whether you pray, whether you just say thank you to a person, whatever you do, it makes you feel good. It creates a physical sense of well-being in your body. And so I say thank you all the time, even if I'm, and if you're feeling down, look around the room and say thank you for something in there that will make you feel good, whether it's a flower, whether it's the dog walking by, whatever. A sense of gratitude makes you feel better about everything.
So many people are in this world today, and I don't know what your experience is, but I know that for our listeners, I have hundreds of people that call in, and they're looking for a deeper meaning. They're looking for a purpose. And it's like the power of their soul is really rocking them.
Yes.
What can you say to our listeners that are experiencing this right now?
I think it is a time of great turmoil, or maybe we're just becoming more aware of it. I think that, you know, the environment has been an issue and a concern of mine for many years, but for the majority of people it's just become to the forefront because it has been suppressed for so long, the knowledge of what is going on our planet. So people are probably in a state of flux and shock and whatever, but I think that, you know, the power of our thoughts and that we can create good and we can all make a difference by doing something positive in our lives to make change, to make things improve. And I think that the human spirit is very powerful and we have a lot of strength to put into turning things around. And I think that believing that and believing in the higher good, that there is higher good on the planet and that we can turn it around, I think that's really important. It makes you feel better about things to have that attitude and thank the universe for what we do have, you know, because there's so much beauty.
Well, there's so much beauty in your expression, not only in this fabulous CD that you've produced, but in the way that you live your life. And that, to me, is such a powerful, powerful image, not just for people, but especially for women. As you decide to do what you do each day, what are the thoughts that you have about influencing the world? Do you sit down and think, I'm creating this for the greater good of mankind, womankind?
Well, I don't think I have grandiose thoughts. I think I know that I'm a singer and I'm not a scientist and I can't do anything really important that way, but nuclear physics or something like my grandfather. But I can hopefully bring some pleasure with my music, and I can just pass on knowledge, I think, you know, just from having lived a bit and gone through some experiences. I create music really for myself and for what I like, and hope that other people like it. Like this Grace and Gratitude is an album that I really wrote for myself as a form of healing for myself, and I think that a lot of people understand that because it comes from my heart. And I have always been very interested in the mind-body connection and the power of our thoughts and the positive thinking over negative thinking. And, you know, I've read when I was going through cancer that people that had positive thought recovered better than the people that were negative about their recovery. I mean, those things are, I think, pretty much documented. So it's always been interesting to me. And I went through a difficult year, a couple of years, and this album, it just seemed to me that was the only way I could go with my music. I didn't feel like singing trivial pop songs, and I didn't want to sing about, you know, anything except what was true to my heart. And these songs really were inspired by works of Deepak Chopra originally, who I've always been incredibly fond of in his writings. And then I read a book by a wonderful author whose name is Carolyn Miff, and she wrote a book called Anatomy of the Spirit, and she talks about how the body has different power centers that we call chakras. You know, that's been probably a term that people that do yoga have heard. And each chakra or energy field in your body reflects a different part or area of your body, and it also reflects your psychological and your spiritual and your emotional well-being. And so my friend Amy Skye, who produced the album and co-wrote most of the songs with me on the album, and I sat down and researched that and discovered that, you know, each part of your body which has this emotional component attached to it, there's a song reflected in it. So we wrote songs like, you know, Learn to Pearls on a Chain, which is how we're all connected as people, a song called To Be Wanted, which is how you're connected in relationships. Learn to Love Yourself, which is learning to love yourself, which is the most probably important relationship that we have.
Uh-huh.
And then your relationship to your spirituality, Let Go, Let God. I Will Lift Up My Eyes, which is a beautiful tune, and The Power of Now, that we wrote about living in the moment, that was a famous book also. So each song kind of reflects different spirituality. And we have chants from Tibet, and we have words and prayers from Judaism and Islam, and Latin benediction from the Catholic Mass, and a poem attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. So we try to incorporate, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much now.
No, you're not.
We try to incorporate all the different belief systems on the planet, because I believe that we're all really looking for love and acceptance, and we just find it in a different path, but all the paths hopefully leading to the same thing. So we try to incorporate it, everyone's, as many people as we could, into the record.
You know, this is fabulous. This is such a powerful message, and in a number of different ways, Olivia. And most of my listeners know that you and I were speaking and going to speak tonight, and they wanted to, it's their gratitude for your work, for your contribution, and for putting into words, because there is power in words, you know?
Yeah, very much.
Very much. For putting into words what they feel so deeply in their hearts, but cannot really express.
Yes. And music somehow, I think, is such a common denominator. And music with a lyric can often touch your heart more quickly than if someone says it to you, because the music kind of empowers the lyric somehow. So if you hear, you know, you need to learn to love yourself, I have a few friends who are really emotionally moved by that, because they kind of knew it on some kind of subliminal level, but when they heard it, it was like, oh my goodness, you're absolutely right, I need to do that, you know. So I just hope that it touches people and it helps to heal the heart and connect us all to one another, which is what we need to do to help heal the planet and ourselves.
It is so true that this is such an important time. Some people have called this year a year of such expansiveness. Some folks look at it from astrological terms, from the Mayan calendar.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Exactly. And, you know, you've been touring, you've been connecting with people. What's the sense that you get from the people that you get to actually turn to and look into their eyes?
I get the sense that people are growing, and I get the sense that people are opening their hearts to the belief that we need to change, and we need to accept each other and accept each other's beliefs and not, you know, fight over them, but accept that someone can think something differently than you and believe something differently than you, but they're still a good person, and they're still, you know, we could still be friends and work things out. And I think it's like, it's the time we need to do that, because there's a bigger picture that's more important, which is helping the planet and the species on the planet that are threatened by the pollution that, you know, we have.
It's so much so. And, you know, the CD title is Grace and Gratitude. And, you've just mentioned Carolyn Mace, of course, who has been on my show as well several times. When you use the term grace, and we hear this, many people have an internal, a cellular reaction, and I think Carolyn talks about that. What does grace mean to you in the context of your journey?
I think acceptance of life and its journey and its ups and downs without blame, without anger. I mean, anger is part of your, you know, part of healing. They say there are 7 stages of healing. I very rarely go to the anger place because I can't see the benefits. it doesn't really prove anything. It doesn't heal anything. I mean, you know, I'll cry, but for me, that, you know, everyone has a different way of getting there, and it's very normal to go there. But I think acceptance of life and just trying to make the best of everything is what it means to me.
Mm. And we're going to talk more about this. Now, many of the folks are asking about the CD and where it's available and about the fabulous partnership that you've developed. And I think it's important to really let folks know about what your vision is, how you've created this, not in context of the music alone.
Yes, well, I was approached by Walgreens to do... sell my breast product, which is a wonderful self-exam kit for women that is like a magnifying glass for your fingers, whereas when you do a breast self-exam, it makes any lumps or changes in your breasts much more easy to detect because it magnifies them 10 times. With a very simple little breast pad, and Walgreens wanted to market that, and when we were talking about that, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a CD to go along with this? Because music is how I express myself there.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the music along with the breast health kit, and we had a breast health supplement also, the three things kind of working together, because people recognize me much more from music than they would from, you know, from the health issue. But with a way to get into health on a healing level, and then introduce the lift kit. So that's how we started with Walgreens, and I think that we're going to be moving forward with some other products which are going to be organic and use recycled paper, and I want to develop products for women to make them feel good. And, you know, even if you have 5 minutes a day, you could sit down with a cup of, you know, make a cup of tea and burn a soy candle and have 5 minutes of peace.
Well, thank you, Olivia. Absolutely, we need a minute of peace. Let's take a minute of peace right now and take a short break. And what you're going to be listening to, you're going to be listening to one of the tracks from Olivia's CD. And the track that we're going to be listening to is Love is Letting Go of Fear. So we'll be right back after this short break with the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By.
You're afraid to stay.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. What a beautiful track from Olivia Newton-John's CD, Grace and Gratitude. Olivia, I know that you have had this amazing vision for not only the CD, but for helping women. And so I know you're in partnership with Walgreens, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that and start to begin this conversation with you around what your vision is, how you're planning to really bring this information out into the world to help women that are so in need of having information and having products and having ways for them to really learn about how to really take care of themselves.
Well, I hope with, you know, I have the CD, Grace and Gratitude, and I'm writing a book right now with a wonderful woman who's helping me put it together so I can verbalize some of these things, and we'll be selling that with the CD. And I think, you know, I know as a woman, and speaking firsthand, of we try to be everything to everybody. You know, we're mothers, we're working, we're taking care of everything, because women, we're multitaskers, and that is easy for us, you know. But it's also very wearing, and I have so many friends that take so little time for themselves and very rarely sit down and just, you know, put their feet up and have a cup of tea, and, you know, it's always doing for the family and for other people. And so I think that one of the things that's really important is to find some place in your house that's yours, some little area that you can make your own little nook and take time for yourself every day. And I'd like to encourage that. And when I create these products that we'll be doing, which, by the way, a large portion will be going to my hospital or breast cancer research, but in products that they can, you know, take 5 minutes to enjoy, like a special candle or, you know, a beautiful hand cream, the scent will make you feel good for a bit. You know, they're just little things, but little things are important.
Well, and you actually talk about this, and you talk about how important it is for us to learn to love ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
And when we're talking about something like breast cancer and having, of course, firsthand experience and friends and family, it's difficult sometimes for us as women to get to that place where we can love ourselves. It traumatizes us in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and there's some kind of guilt attached with, and I'd have to say some of it is from, you know, religion. I think that you feel guilty for loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being conceited or something. But it's really important to take care of yourself and care about yourself, because it starts there. Then you can take care of everybody else. It's like in a plane when the I've got it backwards. You have to take care of yourself first, and then you can take care of other people. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, in the track on your CD, when you talk about learn to love yourself, and what I love about the title is you're saying learn to love yourself.
Yes.
And it is a learning journey for
it
a
is,
lot
isn't
of
it?
Women. Are you kidding?
Yes.
It's hard to put the broom down.
I know. It's true. And, you know, it's... there's another song in here too called Love is Letting Go of Fear, and that's another thing that we need to do. It's like you need love, it, you know, being afraid to let go and love again because we've been hurt. But, you know, we have one line in here that says, remember the wounded bird still sings, and remember that faith has tiny wings. Love is letting go of fear. Love is letting go of doubt. You know, all these things are just little lessons that we really know and we hear them, but somehow in music sometimes they get through.
Well, music helps us to really open up our hearts.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, when I listen to the CD, it really is a way for one to open up our hearts. There are many people that have tried to, you know, sit down and meditate and have tried to get in touch and be in the present, be here now, and have difficult time for this. And so far, the folks that I know that have this CD use this as a way to get to that place.
Well, that's wonderful, because the reason that the tracks flow together and create 1 hour of nonstop music was just for that reason, so that you wouldn't be jarred, you know, when one track stopped and the next song started. I said to Amy, let's make it one piece of continuous music so that it's like you can relax to it, you can meditate, you can have a massage. In fact, I have a spa in Australia, and they designed a massage around it. So I would like to mention there are a few different places where you can get the CD, because people probably don't know. One is Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
The other is olivianewtonjohn.com, and also on iTunes.
Okay. And so we'll make sure that folks know about this.
Thank you. They're
listening to tracks from the CD in between our segments here.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're going to make sure that folks hear the CD or pieces of it, because it is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
There is a track in here that I wanted to ask you about, and ask you about it relative to the work that you're doing with cancer, the Cancer Center. And the track is "I Will Lift Up My Eyes."
Yes.
And I love this. I mean, it almost brings tears to my eyes just to read the words. And you talk about there's a gate around the garden. There's a lock upon the gate. There's a key that longs to open. There's a river flowing somewhere to a sea that knows her name. There's a ship that sails upon it. And I was struck when I was reading that, as well as listening to it, in terms of your effort, what you're doing, not only the cancer awareness, but to really make sure that there are funds so that we can really put an end to this.
Yes, well, you know, I'm very proud that in Australia, in my hometown, they asked if they could build a cancer center with my name on it. So I've been fundraising with them for 5 years now, and we just got a huge grant. We got $25 million from the government, and another further $10 million from another area of the government in Australia, and we've been fundraising. And we'll be close to breaking ground in the next year, I think. I'm really excited about it. But the wonderful thing about this cancer center is that it has a research arm of the Ludwig Institute, which is a world-famous, renowned research arm that will be in the hospital, in the cancer center. So the doctors and the researchers will have direct contact with each other. And I think that, you know, we're very close to a lot of breakthroughs with it. But not only do we want to find a cure, we want to find the preventative measures so that we don't continue to get these cancers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is cleaning up our environment. That is another really, I see the link. I don't have scientific, you know, stuff, but it's pretty obvious, I think, that the change in the environment is affecting the enormity of the amount of cancers that are cropping up everywhere. So it's all linked, you know. We're not just poisoning the earth, we're poisoning ourselves, which is what's happening, and we need to do something about that. And whatever we can do in the form of helping create more research and so we can find cures for these things, you know, it's really important for our future. I want to be able to tell my daughter she doesn't have to worry about it.
Isn't this based on the idea that we are all connected?
Oh, we are totally connected.
Yeah.
Another song, Pearls on the Chain.
About
being connected, yeah.
Yeah, and being connected in the idea of oneness as well. I mean, this is fabulous that you and I can have a conversation about this.
Yes.
And that there will be so many people that will listen to this and actually really get it, you see?
Yes, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so, because it's going to take all of us to pull together to turn it all around. And I think we can. I know we can.
I know we can, too.
Yeah.
And we're really honored to be having you on our show and to bring this conversation to so many people. You know,
did you
ever think when you were doing Greece that you would be along this path? Did you have an inkling of this?
Absolutely not.
I'm kind of at the same place. I had no idea that, you know, I would be here doing radio, although my family says that I've got the bacilli gift of gab.
Well, you're a good speaker. I would love to hear one of your seminars.
Well, you know, I'm kind of like you. I'm looking at the journey because I'm so connected to our listeners. I say that we have the best listeners anywhere. And maybe one of these days we'll get to do an interview where you'll be able to have them call in and really speak.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Hear them.
Yeah.
Because they represent what you are talking about. And maybe we don't all have it all figured out. You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely not.
You didn't have it figured out. And yet at the same time, we know that there is an action that we need to take.
Yes.
Have people said to you, Olivia, when are you going to retire?
Oh, yes.
I know, they said it to me, too. And you respond with a new CD, right?
Yes. I respond with, I thought I was going to retire every year. And then I get inspired by something, which is really a gift. I'm so grateful that I'm always inspired to do something else because I've gone to retire so many times, it's kind of a joke now. I never actually do it, or I say I'm going to take a year off, and then, oh, someone's asked me to do this, and that would be fun. And I'm just so lucky because what I do is fun and creative. I love to create. I love music. And, you know, maybe I won't tour, but I love to create the music. And, of course, that leads me to all these other things, the healing music, which I like to do more of because that's an area that really makes me feel good when I do it. And I get such great feedback from people, and that makes me feel good.
Well, one of the folks that has the CD and they knew that we were going to talk today, they said, why don't you mention to Olivia that she could actually create an online community around the CD, what we're calling sanghas, where people could form and each week take one of the tracks and actually come together connect on that and see how people are now picking up on your creativity.
Wow, that's very interesting. I've never thought of that, but I don't know how you do that, but I'm sure I have people around me that do.
There's that energy again, but I've got, believe me, it's all about intention. Believe me, I can help you with this because, you know, this is a way that we come together and we share. And so part of this is really getting this message out into the world. Now, you have also created a retreat and a spa.
Yes, I have in Australia, in an area called Bangalore, which is in the hinterlands in New South Wales near Byron Bay. For people who have been to Australia, it's in a beautiful, beautiful green rolling hills. It looks somewhat, it's Australia, but you could be in Italy or somewhere. It's just beautiful. And my friend Greg Cave and I I've had a farm in that area for many years, and he'd always wanted to move. And it's a really long story, and I don't want to bore you, but basically...
Oh, you're not boring me.
We opened, it was not an intention. This was not a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think we created it out of a desire to have a place where our friends could come and hang out because we loved the place so much. And then we found this property, and we knew nothing about spas, and my friend Greg was in art. He was an art dealer, and he'd never done anything like this before but had amazing taste. And we saw this property just because we were driving around looking at properties. We fell in love with it, and we both, I swear this is true, we both dreamt about it the same night.
Mm.
Came into the kitchen in the morning to have breakfast, and he said, I dreamt about that place we saw yesterday, and we bought it, and we called it Bella Vista. And I said, oh, I don't like that name, but I said, I dreamt about it, and we called it Gaia. So we had this make-believe kind of fight about this property we didn't even have. And it manifested a year later. We bought it with some friends. Someone else had an offer and we couldn't even get it. And I said, if it's meant to be ours, it'll come back. And here we are, 2 years. We just celebrated our 2 years, and we're doing so well. And it's a beautiful healing. It's a beautiful area. It's very peaceful. It's healing. We have beautiful food and beautiful therapies. And I'm just so lucky because it's near my house. I'm not stupid. I go there for a massage and a good meal, and it's wonderful.
But that's the way to do the planning. But how could you go wrong when you name something Gaia?
I know. It's the spirit of Mother Earth, and that's what it feels like. And apparently it was a very sacred spiritual ground for the Aboriginals many, many years ago. So it's got a really wonderful healing feeling to it, to the land.
Now, if people want to find out more about this, what's the best way?
Can go online and look up Gaia Retreat on the web, and it'll come up.
Yes, I think the website,
OliviaNewtonJohn.com, will link to it also, Gaia Retreat.
Thank you, Olivia. Let's take a short break right now, and on our way out, I'd love for each and every one of you to listen to this song about oneness, a song about connecting, Pearls on a Chain.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to a fabulous conversation that Olivia Newton-John and I are having about grace and gratitude and much more. And, you know, you and I have talked about the journey, Olivia. We've talked about how each of our lives have taken a certain path. And here you are now with a fabulous CD, a CD that is very different from what you've done before. And knowing that the many obstacles that you have overcome along the way. And so this is all part of the collective journey. The key thing that I think is so important in this, and my listeners have heard me talk about this, is the power to overcome obstacles. The power to persevere. Where do you get it from?
You know, I think I have a beautiful daughter that's really, really important to me, and I want to show her by my actions that you, in life, when you have struggles, you just go through them and you fight and you continue on. And I know that everybody has obstacles. My mother was a very strong woman who had a lot of loss in her life and loved my dad, and they got divorced and she never really got over it, but she was strong and she got a job she'd never worked before, and she, you know, she showed me that. She had some physical problems. She had osteoporosis, but she never let that worry her. She was vibrant and alive and always saw the positives. So I think, you know, I had a good teacher, and I want to pass that on to my daughter, because everyone has obstacles. I mean, we all do. And I'm very lucky. I have a wonderful life, and I've been blessed with a lot of gifts that have given me this life. And so I, you know, it's kind of my responsibility, I feel, to give back.
And most of the people that are listening to this show, they so honor that. And they so honor that because I think we all look for people that we can really borrow faith in a lot of situations. Sometimes we kind of get, you know, down and out, and we lose faith, and we have to borrow it.
Well, that's fine. As long as it gets you back on track.
Exactly.
You know, I've had my moments. We all have. You know, I've been in that place, and it's difficult. But you just, somewhere deep down, you got to believe that, you know, you'll get better. And if you're really, really down, then you go and see a doctor, and you ask for an antidepressant to get you out of the hole for a short time, you know, because that, sometimes people get that bad. They need help.
Well, it's all part of what we do to really take care of ourselves, is what they're talking about. I mean, you know, I spent a year sitting on the couch.
Yeah, oh, did you?
I did.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I just came back from a three-day seminar where I was doing some speaking, and I shared that story. And the reason I shared that story is because of how open you have been in sharing your story, and I knew I was preparing for today.
Oh, there you go.
And the response from people connecting to us at that level was beyond anything I could imagine. There were women in the audience crying. And do you know that you represent that level of inspiration for people?
I don't, but I hope that I can be of help. You know, when I was really at my lowest, I went on antidepressants for a short time, and they got me out of that hole. And then I was able to wean myself off when I felt strong enough. And I would, you know, and I know people that haven't done that and have really got themselves into deep trouble. And so I you know, when you get to that space, it becomes a physical thing. Then you need to get help. If you can't do it with your mind anymore, sometimes life just gets too difficult. And you can overcome to a certain time, and I'm a strong person, but there are times when you just need that little extra help, and people shouldn't be ashamed.
And we carry a lot of shame, and we touched on this earlier. And I wanted to ask you mentioned Deepak Chopra earlier.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you on how he has been an inspiration to you.
Yeah, well, Deepak, I was lucky enough to meet him when I first had breast cancer in 1992, and I was introduced to him by a wonderful woman who unfortunately has passed away. She had breast cancer then, and they had a reoccurrence a few years ago, but she introduced me to Deepak, and he helped me and gave me mantras for meditation and really took me under his wing for a while, and I would see him every now and again, and he was just inspiring to me, and I'll be forever grateful to him for that. In fact, we just made a movie together that will be coming out in May, I believe, called The Laws of Seven Laws of Attraction. And we filmed it, and I haven't seen it put together. It is put together. I'm about to get a copy, but I was very proud to be able to work with him.
Well, and let me ask you this. Isn't one of the tracks on the CD?
Yes, that's right. I sing it on the movie. Mm-hmm. I sing it in the movie.
It's a beautiful, beautiful track. And at the same time, it really does sum up for me what we're talking about today. The words, when you look at them and you read them and you hear them, where you talk about the silence and the despair and the blindness and the darkness, you also talk about, let me sing praise, let me bring hope, let me bring sight, let me bring light.
Well, what's wonderful, this song was written by Amy Sky and her husband, Mark Jordan, who's, they're both wonderful singer-songwriters from Canada, and Stephen Mocchio, who's a wonderful musician. And they took the words from the poem by St. Francis of Assisi. They adapted it from that. So people will recognize this song when they hear it. It's such a beautiful song. It's called Instrument of Peace.
It's a very beautiful song. And it is one of the songs that I mentioned earlier that we're playing throughout this interview as well. You know, you have recently been out in the media, on television, in many, many different ways. How did that feel for you?
You mean when they were talking about me, when I was just talking to them? You mean both?
Yes.
It's very difficult to be when you see things about yourself that are either untrue or blown out of proportion or whatever. It's difficult. I try not to read it. I try to stay away from it as much as possible. And it's difficult. And I feel really, really sorry for the Britneys of this world and all these young girls that have to deal with all this kind of thing before they've had the time and the experience to really understand that it's, you know, it's tomorrow's, in Australia we call it tomorrow's fish and chip paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's fodder. It's fodder for the media because they need, you know, they need continuous feeding. It's like a feeding frenzy because they have to have material to print, basically. So they don't really care where they get it from as long as they have something they can write about. And it is very difficult. I'm lucky that, you know, I've been through so many years of it that I can deal with it better, but I feel sorry for these young girls that have to be constantly under scrutiny by these people.
Well, and it really is a challenge, and I think that they can look to you, and certainly there are many people that do, to see how you stand tall with integrity and with grace and with gratitude and really create some very, very strong shoulders for a lot of us to really stand on. We're very grateful for what you're doing and for the message that you're taking out into the world.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you. Well, thank you for what you're doing.
This has been an interesting journey. I really love talking to folks on the radio and inspiring people to live life full out, to really be who they can be.
Yes.
And I'm kind of like you. If you'd have asked me even 4 years ago if I'd be sitting here talking with Olivia Newton-John, I probably wouldn't have believed not one bit of it. But isn't part of this in what we learn each day as opposed to kind of future tripping? Isn't this about being in the now?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, you have to think to the future but live in the moment and enjoy every little thing as much as you can. It's kind of zen-ish, you know, to
mm-hmm.
appreciate the cup of tea you're drinking rather than thinking about what you're doing in 5 minutes. So you can't appreciate the tea you're drinking, because I think what becomes apparent to me all the time is that it could change at any moment. You know, anything could happen to you in 2 minutes from now or to somebody else. Life changes really quickly. So you need to be thankful every day for the day you've had. That's what I do.
And in this beautiful conversation, and I want to thank you so much for sharing such a wonderful part of your journey with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
And what would you like to say to the folks that will listen to this, Olivia? I mean, what would be your personal message for them to inspire them?
Oh, goodness me. Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for any people out there who have been supportive and encouraging to me during my journey and my career. And there have been a lot of wonderful fans who have been there for me for a long time. And I think what what we're talking about, just to try and keep a positive attitude, because it makes a big difference in your life to see the good in people and see the good in others and be accepting of others. And not to judge people too harshly, because everyone's trying to do their best in their journey. And I think if we show compassion to one another and forgiveness and kindness to one another, we can make it work.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I want to remind everyone that's listening, Olivia Newton-John, fabulous CD, Grace and Gratitude. Well, this is very, very powerful and a very powerful interview, and I want to thank you so much. I mean, this is such an important message for so many people. Olivia Newton-John has been an inspiration, as I said before, to so many folks in so many ways, and continues to bring a very powerful message out into the world. And Olivia, I know that in some ways you've only just begun. Don't you think?
Well, yes, I hope so. I really do. I'd like to continue doing this. No, I don't hope so. I know so. There's another thing. You have to believe it.
So
I have to remind myself, too, you know.
Well, that's okay. You know, we could call each other, you know.
Yeah, right.
Do girlfriend night.
There you go.
And again, this has been such a wonderful chat with you and a time to spend together. And we can certainly talk offline about the songs around the CD. I'm really looking forward to the movie.
Oh, thank you.
This is exciting. And you said it was going to be coming out in May?
It's coming out in May. Mm-hmm.
Well, we certainly will look forward to that and to your powerful message. I know many of the listeners have wanted me to say that they are still very devoted to you.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much. And many, many blessings to you and your wonderful journey and all that you do.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's show. And as we've talked about throughout the show is about grace and about gratitude. And right now, I am so grateful for so many people in my life. And let me start off by being grateful for each and every one of you that tune in every week, whether it's on Voice America, whether it's on KKNW, whether it's out of Tampa, Chicago, Boston. It doesn't matter. Each and every one of you have contributed to changing the vibration on the planet in the work that we do and the show that we produce. I want to thank Casey Trump for making this happen from the bottom of my heart. She's been my producer on Voice America from day one. I want to thank Benny Mathers for his expert job in putting this interview together and creating the wonder that you have just experienced. And all of the people in the background to the Dr. Pat Show, Bobby Baxter, Brian Kravitz, and Carol Singleton, each and every one contribute to what you hear every time you listen to the Dr. Pat Show. And as I said before, so many people have been so inspirational in my life, and I thank each and every one of you. Today's show is truly about gratitude. Take some time to look at your life and know that there are people, there are places, there are things that have blessed you in some way. Until next week, make yourself a fabulous week, and know that we love each and every one of you here at the Dr. Pat Show.
just heard an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network. For more information about the network, visit transformationtalkradio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Starting things off over, looks like 405 northbound is the only little slow up around the I-90, but everywhere else traffic's looking pretty good. We also have a statewide silver alert plan in response to missing persons out of Federal Way. And the Federal Way Police Department are asking for your help. If you see a 2017 GMC, a black GMC Terrain with license plates BEM5922, please alert the Washington State Patrol if you see that vehicle. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and In Our Element, using the five elements as a soul medicine to unleash your personal power with Lindsay Fauntleroy. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is stressing a new bill he signed will supercharge U.S. manufacturing of computer chips. Biden signed the bipartisan chips measure during a White House ceremony. The bill also aims to boost American competition with China.
We used to rank number one in the world in research and development. Now we rank number nine. China was number eight decades ago. Now they are number two.
Biden says with the bill, America is meeting the moment and delivering in a fast-changing world. U.S. labor productivity is taking a dive. The Labor Department says it declined by 4.6% in the second quarter from the first 3 months of the year. Small business confidence is going up for the first time since late last year. The Small Business Optimism Index increased by 0.4 points. That's according to the National Federation of Independent Business. But there are still some worries about the economy. Inflation still concerns business owners, and so does quality of labor. A national poll conducted by Monmouth University shows the January 6 hearings aren't changing anyone's opinion. According to the survey, at least 6 in 10 Americans have followed the House committee hearings. Respondents' opinions about what happened that day at the Capitol remained within 1 or 2% of previous polls. That means former President Trump's favorability rating is nearly identical to where it was in 2020, and at least 4 in 10 Americans would be open towards the Republican making a political comeback in 2024. Closing arguments are happening in the trial of a North Texas man accused of killing his daughters in an honor killing. Dallas County prosecutors say Yasser Saeed was enraged. His daughters were dating American boys in 2008. Saeed's attorneys say police botched the investigation and didn't look at other potential suspects. Kurt Cobain memorabilia could go sky high on the auction block. Liz Warner has more.
A rare guitar played by Kurt Cobain going up for auction August 19th. The late star played the D18E guitar during Nirvana's performance on MTV Unplugged in 1993. It'll be available during an online live and in-person event in Beverly Hills, California, held by Julian's Auctions. And it's estimated to fetch at least $1 million.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Our U.S. medical system is the world's best for trauma. It can also extend our final years, even if we're in a sad state. But the system is just not good at keeping us in balance and preventing disease. I'm certified clinical nutritionist Marty Whittaker. On Healthy by Nature, our experts help you feel your best and stay healthy.
Healthy by Nature, Thursdays at 7 a.m. Learn more at hbnshow.com. That's hbnshow.com. And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see clouds and some light rain showers before noon today. But don't worry, it'll burn off to then mostly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 80, 81 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with light showers still lingering around. Low temperatures back down to about 61. For Wednesday, light morning showers and some thunderstorms turning to partly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures much cooler, around 72, 73. With partly cloudy skies for Wednesday night, low temperatures down to about 59. For Thursday, Friday, and for Saturday, that sunshine returns. High temperatures in the mid to upper 70s, with clear skies for the overnights, lows down to the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Lindsay Fontelroy is joining me here today. Okay, let me just tell you about this for a minute. I have to reflect for a minute on how I got here. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing that because that's another show. But I'm really struck by when I get to meet somebody like Lindsay, when I get to meet somebody that is bringing a message to the forefront that's actually talking about something, let's just say, five elements, water, food, fire, earth, and metal. I mean, let's just talk about that for a minute. But when I lean into not only what she is doing and what the messages she's bringing into the world, but then how do you connect all of this to every part of who we are? And I think in her words, how do you discover to regain your footing, tap into your latent potential, and find your flow? See, that right there, that is the message of our time. And you need to have somebody like Lindsay. You have to be in front of somebody like this. And by the way, go over to the website, right, thespiritseed.org. Just check that out for a hot minute. You're going to hear today, beyond who she is, licensed acupuncturist, founder of the Spirit Seed. This is a school. You're going to hear about it. What is it offering? Hello. It offers what should be in every school in the United States of America at a very young age. Every school. Personal development, professional development. The things your mama tried to tell you when you were a child, and then that you forgot growing up. But if you're lucky and you happen to go flip right around, you get to have a journey like I've had, where I've had more second chances than anybody in the world could imagine. I get to talk to incredible people, and today this show is for you. This show, her message, her amazing book, oh my goodness, wait till you hear about this. And besides that, if you think, and let me just give a shout out, Llewellyn, all of our friends over there at Llewellyn. Kat, thank you. Linda, thank you. When you look at the color of the book, or at the cover, you're going to get a sense that what you're about to hear in this show, in this hour, is an activation. It's not just a conversation about how to support the soul and soul-level healing. It's going to be an activation. Lindsay, great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful intro.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to be here.
It's great to have you because we just came off an hour of an interview with Olivia Newton-John and her the production of Grace and Gratitude, one of the first, I don't know, let's call it holistic music CD. I don't know what to call it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about what you're doing is you are raising the bar so that we fully understand that there is a way, that there is soul medicine that can unleash that which is in us. I got to ask you this question. You're like amazing, right? I got to know for you, though. This is a question I've been asking people 20 years. I asked Olivia this, too. I need to know what some of the challenges or obstacles you personally had to overcome to bring you right here to this moment.
Wow, so many. So many. And I think because I think in a framework of five elements and five element theory,
yeah.
I think each of these elements has taught me something different. And so I can just kind of start right at the beginning and say that, you know, the fire element has taught me how to celebrate life and celebrate this moment. And so the block to that that I've had to work through in this process is being so in my head and so place of trying to figure out my next steps and what is it all going to mean and where is it all going to go, blah, 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 that I would forget to find joy in this moment, in being here right now. And then when we come to the earth element teaches us about community and being in connection with one another. And the block that I've had to work through is going it alone and feeling like a superwoman and feeling like I can do everything myself and don't help me because I'm just going to do it because it's faster for me to do it by myself or nobody understands me or all those mental traps that have come up that I've had to work through. And I've had to learn how to lean on other people. I've had to learn how to trust someone else's vision. You know, when you're writing a book, there's so many hands on deck, so many hearts on deck and so many hands on deck. And it was one of the first times that I had a project of this magnitude that I wasn't in complete control of everything. And so learning how to lean into the community of that, the community of Llewellyn, the community here in Brooklyn that has been supporting my work from the beginning, that was a big part of it. The metal element teaches us about letting go and surrender. And there's so much surrender that I'm moving through, I think, with these past 2 years with the pandemic and, you know, throughout this process, I closed my acupuncture practice and I had been in practice for almost 15 years and there was so much grief and that letting go and that that surrendering and saying, okay, I don't know. I don't know where this is all going, but I know it's time to let this go and to be open to something else to come in.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because one of the things we're looking at, and I want you to continue, because one of the things we're looking at is how can we help people rise up again? Yeah. How can we help them rise up again? You know, sometimes we make some decisions in our lives, right? Like writing a book, like counting on a community. And let me tell you something, I really am getting a sense of how many hands go into a book by what one of our other hosts going through right now with the publisher. Everything from, like, we're changing the cover. I mean, I'm just watching. Surrender, surrender, trust, surrender.
Surrender.
And yet, I get to look back and I want to ask you this question. I was reading your book and I was so struck by the very odd, weird, bizarre opportunities that somebody like me from the Bronx, right? You said you're Brooklyn now? Okay.
Brooklyn, yes.
Brooklyn, right? I mean, look at us, right? Come on.
Hey.
I think we're
getting virtual high five.
Yeah, like, right? but it's imagine this, right? Because I couldn't even imagine that I would actually be here talking to you, most amazing person, having a conversation about the elements.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Right? But let me ask you this, because it's just one part of this.
Right.
How did that part of surrender, oh, my God, shutting an acupuncture business down? See, the good news for us is we jumped on with the virtual bandwagon 6 years ago, like
right.
Video, digital. I mean, I've been doing digital since 2003. I'm considered like a pioneer of like podcasting. But what did that do to allow you to bring soul medicine forward? Come on, let's talk about soul medicine.
Yeah.
Because if not the soul, what then does need medicine?
Right. It's been such an exploration, because even in my acupuncture practice, I was fortunate enough to meet one of my mentors and teachers, Lori Deshar, who wrote a book called Alchemical Acupuncture.
Yep.
And so from the very beginning of my acupuncture career and my flower essence practice before that, it was very attuned to these issues of psycho-spiritual development. And, you know, acupuncture in the West is still associated with pain conditions. It's what insurance covers, you know, your car accident, your back pain, your neck pain. And so the spiritual component of acupuncture is not as prevalent in the Western world as it was in its origins. And so from the beginning of my acupuncture practice, I really focused on emotional self-awareness and spiritual development through the acupuncture, through the elements. And so when COVID happened, and I had been teaching online for a few years before COVID, so I wouldn't say I was a pioneer, but I was familiar with all the things, right? So when COVID happened, it was such a crisis, a collective crisis of the soul. There were so many people, and still, you know, it's not over yet, so many of us that are wondering and trying to figure out what now, what next? What am I supposed to be doing if all of these things that I thought I was supposed to be doing are stripped away? And so the soul medicine and the practice of soul medicine really crystallized when I thought about, okay, if I can't see people in my clinic, how do we still work on the level of the soul? And what I realized was that, oh, I can just get out of the way because this is self-healing, right? We can do this on our own. We can do this in our own homes. We can do this for our children, for our spouses, for our friends. And that, I think, is part of this push that I've been feeling in terms of this work is getting out of these hierarchies of patient and practitioner. And for ourselves and for each other, the better. And the beautiful thing about it is it's not hard. It's not esoteric. It's not hidden. It's right there. Nature is right there in front of us and within us, that we can call on and we can work this medicine.
So interesting we're talking about this, because first of all, I love your book. Let me just tell you. I don't know how many hands got into the book, but they did not take your spirit out of the book. I'm just saying.
Oh,
right there.
Okay. So
there's a lot of hands in this book. I know there got to be hands in the book, but your spirit is in the book. I don't know what you had to do with the book cover, but whatever that is, yeah, we're good. The part that you come out of the gate with, I want to talk with. No, right? Am I right? Am I reading this right?
You just called out so much of the struggle with this work and this process. I'm laughing to myself because there were so many points along the way, you know, where you have to make executive decisions about, okay, am I gonna, which aspects of this am I going to really advocate strongly for, and which parts am I going to say, all right, it's fine.
You know, it's really fascinating we're talking about. So let's just digress for a minute. Let's just go over to the sidebar for a second.
Sidebar.
Okay. I work with one of the, like, top spiritual book agent people, Gail Tort, right? She's been doing this, like, a really long time, representing a lot of people. And so what I do is I help our hosts do their books. So Gail says to me, with a British accent, Dr. Pat, what are you going to do your book? And I'm like, you know, Gail, I think I know too much. I said, you know what? I'm not afraid to write the book. Certainly, I know there are a lot of stories that I could tell, a lot of things I can write about. But I said, what I'm watching people go through, I need to launch our expansion network first, because that's where I need to put my energy. And then we can talk about writing a book that 10 other people are going to really have more to say about it than me. Did I get that right?
You got that right. And I'll be very gracious. I think that in terms of the back and forth conversations about what gets to stay, what gets edited out, even the illustrations, which I feel are pretty radical in terms of the wellness industry, I really am grateful that that I was with a publisher that was able to hear me say, no, this is important to me. And even if they disagreed, for them to say, okay, well, if this is important to you, then we'll go with it. But that was also an exercise for me of taking a stand as well, which is not something that comes naturally to me.
And I got to tell you this. I mean, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, because this is really talking to what you say in the book. You know, right out of the gate, you say something that I had to learn the hard way, but I think I learned it now. I'm just saying, universe, do not give me any more lessons on this. I'm right now just saying, okay, hear me.
You got it.
Okay. But you and I, right?
soul medicine is about energy. And I think you go on to talk about chi, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I play a sport. And so the sport I play is a very fast-paced sport. We play on a court. It's called table tennis. But when you come in the court, so this is me, right?
Yes.
You come in, and if they don't close the cardboard exactly so it's closed, I'm like, you're letting my chi out. And you should see these athletes look at me like, what is she talking about? But
right.
The reason I want to talk about this is because, first of all, let me acknowledge Llewellyn. I'm not sure what happened at Llewellyn in the past couple of years, but they came out of the gate with a vengeance about producing books like yours.
Yeah.
And their representation, anybody I talk to says exactly what you said about them. Their publicists are amazing. However, you're writing a book about soul medicine, and you're writing about the soul medicine and the interaction of soul medicine and energy. This is one of the greatest lessons of our time.
Okay.
You can overlay this on politics. You can definitely give this Greta Thunberg, okay, my role model, Greta. She is like all about this, about the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But for where you sit, and as I read your book, and you tell us how to use your book, and then, of course, I just use it, like, because I'm me. And then you talk about flower essences.
Yeah.
Then you talk about Egypt. And now I'm like, what past life in Egypt did you have, Lindsay? Right?
Right. And my introduction to the elements actually came through a spiritual organization that was based on the Kemetic sciences. And the Kemetic is, of course, what we would consider Black Egypt, right? And so it was in that training that I was even introduced to the five element system. And we were learning Qigong, and we were using herbs, and we were using all this five element medicine for spiritual wellness and emotional self-awareness and emotional transformation. And so there's some parts in the book where I draw some similarities between the hieroglyphs in ancient Egypt and, you know, the characters that we see in ancient Chinese language. And it really does feel, I mean, all of this work is ancestral for me. But that question of, you know, how many past lives did you spend? Dare I say several?
Yeah. And you know how I know this? Because as I go on to read your book, and for those of you, I just want to say, if you're just tuning in, I want you to go over and check. First of all, this is kind of unusual, but I really want you to go there. I want you to go to thespiritseed.org. Just go over there and look at what Lindsay has created. Look, just look for a minute. Because once you get here and you see the image here, I went to this site the other day when I was having a moment with myself, and I just stared at her. Like, I didn't even scroll down the page. I was just, like, staring. Because one of the things I want to say about you, and I want to talk about the lessons in the book as we go forward, is that we are learning, if we're open mind, let me just caveat, we have an open mind. We're learning about some things, about how we got to be who we are in the world today. We're also learning about some things about our humanity. But you have brought to the forefront and created this beautiful web, flowers, energy, music, right? Isn't this what the ancients did to heal? Right? I mean,
right.
Everything you read in the hieroglyphs, and even before, ancient Sumeria, right?
Yeah.
When you see what they've done, what is there? True?
True.
How
everything
can we
it.
Remember this? So here's the deal. I know why you're doing this, because we're getting ready to forget the power of this level of healing. I want to know, what do you want to tell us about how we can remember this? And what your message is for the book?
I want us to know that this is a remembrance. So there's nothing that I'm saying in the book that is, we all have this experience with these elements. We all know these seasons within our own psyche, within our own souls. And so the book is meant to jog that memory, because we've done this before. We've all done this work before. And so before we forget, it's really going into that remembrance. It's really going into that ancestral memory of how to heal at a vibrational level. That's my hope for this book, is that it becomes a springboard, because, you know, this is sentient knowledge. You know, the five elements are archetypes, and the same sun that rose 2,000, 5,000, 25,000 years ago is the same sun that rises and sets now. And as one of my dear friends said, you know, the same breath that we're breathing is the same air that our ancestors breathed. And so it's a remembrance of how to go back inside ourselves and transform. And really, that is what this time period is calling for. You know, I think we've done really well with the physical body. We've done really well with all of the medical advances and technologies. And sure, there's many more cures to come, and we have a ways to go, but there's been some real miracles in modern medicine. In terms of the spiritual work, we maybe all have different religious and spiritual paths. And then there's the space in between. There's our thoughts and our emotions and our etheric body and our astral body, and these aspects of ourselves that are essentially energy that are ripe and ready to change. So how do we get to those pieces? We can look online and find out what diet to follow. We can look online and figure out what exercise regimen to do. We have our religious institutions to know how to connect to spirit or intuition. And then there's the stuff in between, and that's what this book is really speaking to.
Yeah. You know, I just so love the term in between. I mean, thank you for the Stranger Things series for really to give us the upside down and the in between and all that crazy stuff. I want to thank you for reminding us of that space. But, you know, you nailed it in the book. I can't remember where. I think it was in the beginning where you set the stage and you really quote Einstein. And, you know, everybody quotes this quote. I really would love to have Einstein in front of me and say, dude, what did you really mean by this quote? I just like to have him in front of me. But it is the quote that he says, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. See, now, when people use that quote, they leave stuff out, and you did not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. See, that is the remedy. And I wanted to ask you this. As you studied in Costa Rica, you studied you did everything you needed to do to get to the you right here now today, whatever that looks like, all of the study and all the classes, all of that. But then you had to fully step into you.
Yeah.
What did these elements teach you to become you?
What I've learned from the elements is that everything can change. Nothing is static in this universe. Everything can change. So even the things that feel the most stuck, the most impossible, it's still energy. And so when we look at an indigenous mindset of health and healing, your circumstances are part of an energetic makeup. So, you know, if we were to go back X thousands of years, if your compound or your house catches on fire, that's considered an illness. You have to go seek out your shaman or your spiritual advisor to figure out what is the energy that created, what is the consciousness that created this circumstance. And so what I've learned from the elements is that there is a science of change, that we can look at what's happening in our lives, whether it's going great or whether it's stuck or not moving, and all of it is marked by a particular consciousness. And to the Einstein quote, if you keep doing and thinking and having the same perspectives and having the same outlook that created the circumstance is going to stay the way it is. And so when we look at the elements, we see the science of change that is encoded and symbolized by nature that says, oh, the pattern of the circumstance is marked by the wood element. So let me now go to the wood element and see what healing there is to shift my consciousness, move this chi and this life force, raise my vibration if it needs raising, bring me some self-awareness so that I can shift my consciousness. And when I shift, then the circumstances that I find myself in are also going to move and change around me as I come into more alignment.
Yeah. And you know what? You do this so beautifully in the book, because what you do is you introduce us to something I love to talk about. We're going to talk about this more when we come back from break. But you actually really talk to us and talk to people about the whether it's the Hertz reading or the decibels, whatever people want to use to describe yin-yang, but also, more importantly, to understand what consciousness activates, what it doesn't, what's possible. And so, you know, you set the stage for us to really understand, you know, what we're capable of. But in order to be capable of a shift, we first have to understand what the heck we're working with, right?
That's right.
You're right. It's like there's some people that bake really, really good, and then there's me. And
and me too.
And so, you know, I finally had a chef say to me, look, I know why this doesn't work for you. I said, good. He said, you're a great cook. You can cook this. You can cook. I know why this doesn't work for you. I said, well, good. Why do people keep wanting me to bake? He said, they don't realize you don't like the touch of flour.
Wow.
He says, you just don't like it. You don't like the flour on your hands. You don't understand that it doesn't look like dust mites, that it's really flour. So everything in your consciousness, when you get that flour and you try to make dough, everything about that, you think you're mixing dust mites together.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to know how many of you all got those dust mites right up here. Because this is really what we need to see. Now, this chef was brilliant. And I looked at him and I said, I don't like to put my hands in flour. And I said, furthermore, I hate cleaning it up. And then I said, secondarily, how does anybody not get it on the floor? When we come back, how many of those things, how many of those do you have in your alpha state, in your beta state, in your delta state? How many of these do you know are operating, as my very special guest would say, in the subtle body? But what happens when something screams out at you, screams out, crosses into the astral plane, and you still are not getting it? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with that and so much more.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-host in the Angel Empowerment Show from I Can to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live, on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Oh boy, oh boy, there we are. I know she's like, she's right there with me. Mm-hmm. Look, I am so thrilled. First of all, Lindsay, first of all, congratulations on the book. Let's just start out with that. The second thing I want everybody to know is we're talking about, we were just joking about the launch date of the book, In Our Element. And, you know, this is using five elements like a soul medicine. See, this is important to unleash personal power. See, that's really what the end game is. We're going to talk about what the elements are and how to use them in a minute. But before we do, can you tell folks anything and everything they need to know to get a copy of the book and also to find out more about you?
Sure. So the best place to find out more about the book is to visit thespiritseed.org. You'll find links to the book, information about the school that we've been building for the past few years to really help us to bring this medicine forward into the world. And you can also follow me on the socials, primarily Instagram, which is Lindsay Font, as well as on Twitter, mm-hmm. the same name.
Yeah. And please, everybody, when you go there, you're going to be able to find upcoming classes. It's a gorgeous website. And you're going to be able to find upcoming classes, so courses, you know, and you'll get really more information than we have time to cover. But you'll understand about flower essences, flower spirit, the elements, soul medicine. It's really all there. I think there's even a course that I was looking at, which is, I think, something like the 9 stages of soul healing. So, you know, there is a lot here. Did I get that right, or did I just blow that?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. God willing, that is the next book, those 9 stages.
Okay, good. Good one on me. Look, we spent the time really setting the stage for where some of our issues come from. We have issues, people.
We've got issues.
Right. But that doesn't mean we can't solve them. We just can't solve them, like you said, at the consciousness level they were created. But when we go back in time, the one thing that comes forward from, I don't know how many thousands of, like, way back are the elements.
Mm-hmm.
We knew about elements. We knew about flower essences. We knew. And we are here, I think, today as a species because these people, they work with this. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely right. I think that ties into the remembrance. I always like to say nature knows. You know, this idea that, you know, these trees that we walk past have been here so much longer than humans. And a lot of times I push back on, you know, this kind of idea that we're going to destroy nature. And I like to remind folks that, you know, humans are pretty new to this game as it relates to the age of the earth. And so there's some wisdom from nature that we've lost connection to,
mm-hmm.
we've lost access to. And so it's time that if we want to heal humanity, mm-hmm. if we want to be able to continue to exist, we have to get mm-hmm. in alignment with an understanding that can supersede our own logical, rational intelligence, which is limited.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, there's a limit to what we can know.
You know what? Here's what you hit. I want to jump right into working with the elements because here's what you hit on for me. I found out recently that grandfather was born in Brazil. Okay, greatest well-kept secret on the planet. Papa changed his name from like a Brazilian name to an Italian name because he wanted to marry grandma. Was a farmer in Brazil. So I'm getting images from my relatives. I got an image the other day. I just bawled my eyes out.
of the Amazon and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just thought for a minute, how many healing herbal plants are we destroying? I mean, we know that a place like the Amazon has all of the elements that you're about to talk about, pretty much has some unique flower, right? But the elements have got to teach us. What is it that we could know today in this show? What would you say each element is here to teach us if you could give us a message from them?
Sure. So I can share some of the soul lessons. In the book, I talk about each element represents an aspect of our psyche and specific soul lessons. So from the water element, we learn how to replenish. We learn how to go inside of our own depths, our own emotional waters. And we learn and remember our ancient path, our ancient lineage, our ancestry, whose shoulders we stand on. And that's like the seed aspect of the psyche. And then we come to the wood element, which is the sprout. And through the wood element, which is one of my favorites, we learn that anger is the energy of change, that it serves a purpose. And we learn how to take a stand and how to express ourselves with power and conviction and how to live on purpose. The soul lesson of the fire element is learning how to celebrate life and connect to our essential divinity, to connect to our wholeness, and to acknowledge that our senses are sacred, that we live in a body is a sacred thing, and to enjoy and create joy and celebration in our life, and to connect with one another through our heart center. Through the earth element, we learn about community. We learn how to honor the mothers of creation, that every person that exists on this planet came through a mother. And we have many different relationships with many types of mothers. And so the earth element is teaching us about the capacity to nurture and to be generous and to live into that aspect of nurturing the physical body and the physical form that is a container for the spirit. And then last, we come to the metal element, which teaches us about, I like to say it teaches us to honor what's eternal and what's temporal, and to recognize that all comes from spirit and all returns to spirit, that there's a time-bound reality and there's a reality that's unbound by time and space. And the metal element teaches us how to honor and have reverence for the spirit. Mm. And then the wheel continues, and we come back to being a seed in the soil with the water element.
Mm. Yeah. So here's what I love about this. I said this to you before, and I said it during the break. When you grow up in, what do they call it? Cement jungle, right? Isn't that what they call like
concrete jungle?
Okay, concrete, thank you. Concrete jungle, right? So concrete. My dad, like when we had like a little backyard, he poured cement in it. See, I think he was burying people back there because nobody in their right mind does that. You know, knowing my dad, he did bury a few people back there. The only place on the block, like everybody is like, we got to grow grass. My dad like gets a cement truck. But here, I know, right?
There's something there.
Something there. There's really a there, right? But see, what I love about this is somehow you and I have had a life's journey. Whatever the challenges, whatever the obstacles, here we are. You and I also cannot not do what we're doing. Believe me, I have tried in my worst moments to walk away. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I end up starting a network called the Transformation Network, getting ready to grow to 10 channels in about 6 months. I cannot not do it. So now I stop resisting. So I want to talk with you about this. If we could help people use these elements, energy would shift. Despair would change from despair, right?
Right.
To destiny.
Mm.
Right?
Beautiful.
I mean, isn't this what you've learned? Isn't this why you're teaching it? Isn't this the Einstein idea of solving the problem at a different level of consciousness? But it's a remembering consciousness that our ancient ancestors used to survive.
That's right. And I really had that awareness when I first started doing this work. Started out with women's programs, women's circles.
Totally.
And I would bring in the flower essences, and every, you know, moon we would meet, and we would do the flower essences and do. There's so much pain and trauma that the women I was working with were moving through. And what I learned very early on is that it's not about the pain. It's about what the pain is blocking us from. And so the circles became less focused on how do I heal this thing and more into, well, how do I use this thing to help me into where it is that I'm destined to go? So what you just said so beautifully, the despair into destiny. And there's that, I forget who says this quote, but and it's so beautiful to me. It's like the wound is where the light enters you. And so really using, I think that the elements is because what draws us into this healing work is often our pain. We come to it because something feels out of balance. Something feels out of alignment. We feel sad. We feel anxious. We feel overwhelmed. We feel all the things, afraid, angry, rageful, injustice. That brings us to this medicine. And then what the elements teach us and what I'm hoping to do through the book is to say, okay, now take your starting place. Because that starting place, what you're feeling is actually a clue. Is actually going to point you to your potential. So we're not trying to erase the pain. We're not trying to deny it. We're not trying to suppress it. We're not even trying to transform it. We're trying to use those energies and say, this crisis, this pain, this heartache, this sadness is actually pointing me in a direction. And if I work with this soul medicine, it's not necessarily going to make me feel better, but it's going to put me in alignment with where my life is trying to take me. And that's, I think, the beauty of this medicine is getting out of our heads and into our bodies, into our souls, and following that orgasmic wisdom that is inside of us.
Yeah. You know, I love this. I mean, so first of all, let me commend you for writing a book that you've included tables. Hello. Thank you. And I mean it. Because when you got to the point where I think you're talking about, like, there's an exercise or something where you're talking about emotions and you're talking about reflection. How do I feel, right?
Right.
And then I see the table. And then I drive in today. Okay, so you gotta help me out here, right? This is where you need to, like, do, like, an intervention with me today.
I got you.
I'm driving down, right, from my house, love where I live, a rabbit. Now, I know what the rabbit totem is. Okay, so the rabbit. So I'm pull out, and I'm going down the little street very slow. So the rabbit is, like, on the curb. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Get back on the grass. What are you doing? Sitting there on the curb knowing that I'm going to stop, right? Sure. Because if I don't stop and it runs out, I'm going to hit it.
Right.
So I'm stuck in front of my neighbors. I don't know what they think because I got out of the car. Talk to the rabbit, like, go back. And I get out of the car thinking I'm going to chase it back. It doesn't go back. Okay, 25 feet, and I go around the corner. Another rabbit, and I'm like, okay, spirit totem, I know what you are talking about. And then I get your little thing here, the chart, because you are combining, in my opinion, the essence of emotional intelligence that there are a lot of books about, but very little solutions for. Emotional intelligence with element and soul medicine, aren't you?
Yes, that is the vision. And it really comes from overall view that our emotions are life force, our emotions are energy, and they are directive, right? If you feel angry, if you feel rage, if you feel frustrated, if you feel blocked with stuff, we would say that those emotional patterns are pointing you to the wood element. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It means that something in your existence is either threatening you or blocking the intellectuality of your greatness or the impulse or the instinct for your greatness. So now that we know that, now that anger and that frustration isn't a bad thing. Now that anger and frustration is allowing us to say, well, what do I need to do differently in my life? And maybe I can't see it, so maybe there's a flower essence, and that flower essence is going to help me to use my voice in the places that I haven't been able to use my voice. or that flower essence is going to help me to see through the resentment and bitterness that I've been holding for 30 years that really doesn't belong here anymore.
It gave me a wart now. Gave me this wart on my finger, right?
Right. Carrying all this stuff from, you know, childhood or from early adulthood, and so
or yesterday
or yesterday, you know, or 10 minutes ago. But it's really a window in, and it's an invitation to stop looking at our emotions as something to numb, or to stop looking at our emotions as something to get rid of or to transcend, but to say, okay, what is this emotion guiding me towards, and what is the potential that is encoded in this emotional expression? And when we see that, it brings us deeper into ourselves, but also more in alignment with the world as it's showing up for us, so we can pay attention to the rabbit.
Let me just tell you what happened, because I'll read your book. Now, I've read the book twice.
What do you think
I did upon leaving my house this morning? Because I was in here like at 6 or something ridiculous. I'm an early bird. But what do you think I did backing out like at 5:30 in the morning that I never do? Okay, here it is. Why would I, 5:30 in the morning, back out, go to my hose in the front of my house, take my hose, and water my plants?
Oh, wow.
Right? Because think about what you just said about water. Water is, let's just be clear about how this, how I absorb this and then how it works. Rabbit is about fear. Water, right? See, this is not just crazy making. This is like how you put it all together, people. This is what I want to say. You read the book, you're going to get it. You're going to do what I did. But I didn't do it. I did it subconsciously. Imagine me at 5:30 in the morning. I got to get to the office, but I'm backing out. And all of a sudden, I look at the hose. I stop the car. I get out of the car. I turn on the hose, and I'm watering my plant. Like, what? Like the whole plant thing with the rabbit sitting on the edge of the curb. Why? Because when I look at the elements, water, what does it help us with? Fear, anxiety, panic, right? See, this is what you've put together to help people with. Now, on a secondary note, if people continue to read your book and understand that you are not just talking about these emotions, but you're talking about how do we get what is happening globally. And I call it global stuckness.
Yeah.
Isn't this what you're doing, helping us get unstuck too?
Yes. And in the story you just shared about the rabbit and the fear, I just got goosebumps and chills, because that's it. It's being alive and attentive to how they have this thing, as above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so the soul. And the ancients knew that if you look at what's going on around you, it'll tell you what's going on inside of you. So thank you for sharing that story. And the same is true of the collective. When we look at what's happening in our collective, the fear, the tribalism, the social media, you know, when we look in the collective, we can see what's happening within ourselves. So my theory is that, okay, well, if we can change what's happening on with us individually, we can also in mass change what's happening in the collective. You know, it has to start with us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the ones that are going to need to make those big shifts and push through that fear, so that it can ripple out. And that's that, like you said, the collective stuckness, you know, this collective space of uncertainty and fear that drives us from the subconscious. And we have an opportunity and dare I say responsibility to get intimate with that within ourselves and to do something about it.
Yeah, and you don't stop here. See, this is what I want to say about the book. Gosh, I wish we had more time, but I want to get this in for people. When you go and take a look at this book and you really get this book, and then, you know, for me, I'm reading the book now. That's why I'm looking at the courses you're teaching, right? But you don't stop there. You go on and take us through practices. You go on and have us tap into our bodies, right? You go on and talk about everything from sensual mindfulness to what the body can do when you bring it all together. So, see, that's what I love. It was just beautiful to be able to start out with the remembering, I like to call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then as we go through the book, what you're saying is, hey, if you don't know where to start, try this. I think at one point you even talk about the earliest memories of our body in shame. I think you talk, I don't know if it's you talking about it or somebody else is talking about it, but I really struck on to that because any of us, those of us, I just want to say, any of us that have been physically abused as children, mine was in Catholic boarding school,
mm-hmm.
but any of us that have gone through that, this is a time to free yourself. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm telling you, if you get a hold of Lindsay, if you look at some of the things she's talking about, if you're looking at, you know, what happens when we release bodily shame, because you addressed that, right?
Yes. And how our bodies are so kind and benevolent that they will store and hold all of the things that we are not consciously willing to face.
Yeah.
And so as we start to heal and our body starts giving us memories and saying, well, did you look at this? And I've been holding on to this. And what about this thing that happened? And, you know, in East Asian medicine and acupuncture, as an acupuncturist, we say we heal from the inside out. So as things come out from inside of the depths of our body and into our consciousness, that's a sign of healing. You know, it's better out than in, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you want all of these things to come out. And that's why, you know, with the nine stages, healing isn't linear, you know, because you're healing, but it doesn't always feel good. But as stuff comes out from the depths of our body, as it comes out from all the places that we've been holding it and storing it, that shame, that trauma, as it starts to come up for us to see it, then we have the choice. We have the freedom mm-hmm. to say, okay, I don't want to carry this anymore.
Yeah.
I want to release this. And now here are some tools to move that energy and translate it into, like you said, despair to destiny. I love that. I may have to start saying that and just quote you all the time with that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that is a working title for my book, like,
yeah,
I can get past my phobia about, like, publishing. But, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about, and you'll have to come back, because I could do a whole show, and I would love to. I grew up with music. I had a mom that loved music. Now, I will say my mom was very depressed. She was an alcoholic, and she was on prescription drugs and committed suicide, but she introduced me to music. And you really bring this out. So if you come into our office and studios here, and I'm in, like I said, 6 in the morning, you can hear my speakers and my music from the elevator.
That's right.
Now, when they come in and they hear me playing Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Come to You, they're like, how is the queen of positivity listening to that? But see, the conversation about music is much deeper, isn't it?
That's right. And music, just like our emotions, is an energetic force. And so I share in the book playlists, and those playlists, I share about 15 songs for each element, and I literally could have listed 100 songs. Llewellyn would have let me have a 1,000-page book.
You should start a page, though, on your website so we can contribute.
Yes.
You could really put up a way for us to contribute, because I tried to explain to people what my relationship with the song Creep is by Radiohead, and I can't. Nobody gets it.
Mm.
But see, I love the way you, and thank you for having Grace Jones in there. Hello. I love how you bring it all together. It is so beautifully done. And I want to congratulate you, not just on the book and your success, but on having the courage to become you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for today. One last question. What is your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
I would like to leave you with the last few words of the book. You know, the last thing that I say as I'm talking about this alignment with nature, I say go outside and see yourself. And I would like us to walk with that and to remember that, you know, the breeze, the river, the ocean, the rabbit, the snail, the element, the fire, the sun, it's all a reflection of who and what we are and our potential. and so when we slow down enough to see that, we can transform ourselves.
And I want to just tell everybody, please, please go over. I think maybe on Facebook we're dropping this in, but go to thespiritseed.org. Please go over there. Everything that I've mentioned during the show, you'll find. Take a look at some of the courses. There's something here for everybody. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. And I want to just leave everybody with this, because you all email me, why do I keep talking about Rihanna? Here's why. Because this is a woman that follows Einstein's suggestion. This is a woman that when she found herself, healed herself, created the universe she wanted. This is the woman that despite everybody limiting her and telling her is now on the billionaire list. This is the woman that transcended dialogue, discord, and is showing all of us, I am me, and I'm amazed, just like Lindsay.